This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Here's the but. But Jim and his good friend Gray Barker were not above, number one, having fake feuds with each other, laughing over multiple six-packs of beer when they got together or whatever Jim was drinking at the time, or perpetrating hoaxes. So Jim worked on two levels, very serious investigator, very dedicated, kind of unearthed the frauds, very straight ahead, then perpetrated frauds, and poked fun at it, and when I asked him about it, he'd say, well, this way we keep up the interest. When there aren't a lot of sightings, let's make up one.
Yeah, you know, people often think of Jim as having no real belief, if you want to call it that, in UFOs or being a debunker or whatever. Jim was open-minded. He was definitely interested in the phenomenon. He certainly did have fun with it, which I remember was always one of the key things he taught me about it was it's a kind of view it as a process thing, right? We're not, in my opinion, we're never going to get confirmation of many of these things. It's the hunt for it, the search for it, the process of, having the experience and meeting people and learning new things. And, whether or not we ever actually get confirmation of some of these things, I'm skeptical that we will, but it's a process. It should be something we have fun and learn about each other and learn about ourselves. And
so I was trying to find someone that Jim was looking for once. He said, tell him that I'm a Fortean researcher, instead of a ufologist. He was interested in the phenomena that Charles Fort, which is much broader, didn't really include the supernatural so much, but it was about a wide spectrum of things, not just saucers, like a lot of people strictly focus on.
Even the boundary of what UFOs or saucers include, right? I mean, as G mentioned, there's these poltergeist phenomena that accompany these stories, right? And oftentimes there's precognitive stuff that people report, and oftentimes it's not, it's not just as simple as a sighting of something that, it's a one. There's oftentimes a lot more to it, which is really fascinating, right?
Well, you have a lecture you deliver called UFOs as Agents of Psychic Transformation. Is it strictly about people who see a UFO and their lives change?
That's my interest was in primarily how people's lives do oftentimes shift after having some kind of encounter, right? Oftentimes people perceive that as a positive thing, by the way. But sure, even just the involvement of, finding out about the phenomenon and getting involved in it, I've heard many people say, considered it as something that kind of opened their mind up, right, and kind of changed their perspective on the world, the universe, how things work. But primarily my interest in that transformative aspect is, and again, even though I primarily work in trauma recovery, I'd have to say, at least as often as a UFO story might have some negative parts to it, people oftentimes view their UFO experience in a positive way. It is something they draw some strength from, and that it was interesting part of their life story, right? And that they have some meaning attached to. Yeah, it's I think there's always a kind of a push to move towards the idea of UFOs as a threat, right? The threat narrative kind of thing. But people just as often, find positive impact from these kind of things, at least in my experience dealing with people.
When you say open your mind, I think of the scene from the movie Total Recall with Schwarzenegger, where he meets up with Quato, this mutant, this all-powerful mutant, and he says, open your mind. You're going to say something, Kurt.
I was wondering if you Tim could discuss maybe a couple of figures in particular that, examples of ones who, took a turn in their lives after an experience.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think of getting too far into details, obviously, from folks that to whatever degree want to publicize or not their experiences, but just keeping it kind of surface level on in regards to detail, I've had folks that have that I've talked to that have kind of just been going on about their daily lives and encountered something. You know, I can think of a couple instances where it was they had encountered some kind of entity right on the side of the road, and just I remember one guy I spoke to was riding his bicycle and came across something standing on the side of the road that he couldn't identify, and it was a description of a humanoid, right? And I can't recall that he actually saw an object on that case. I think it was a case where he just had seen some kind of entity. But yeah, you know, in that case, it was one of those where I recall almost verbatim, he said he thought about it almost every day since it happened, right? And become fascinated with astronomy and questions about philosophy and all those kinds of things. I know there's oftentimes a more conscientiousness about the environment. That's a big one that's been obviously since the 50s and 60s that UFO contactees have kind of increased environmental awareness, right? Stuff like that. So those are kind of common themes that I've, you know, run across, right? That people have this experience, and oftentimes it's not just a one-time thing, but sometimes it is, but often it's becomes a part of their life, right? Intertwined with their life story.
I was thinking of a couple of people. One was Captain Bill Nash from the Nash-Wartenberry sighting in the 50s. Mm. He really went on to become sort of a UFO crusader. He was really big about getting the message out, you know, sort of joined Donald Kehoe's cause about, you know, trying to get the government to tell more and things like that. And then, of course, you know, Gene mentioned Calvin Parker, who passed recently. He kind of became more reclusive, but Charles Hickson, he's one of those ones that kind of opened up to the universe like you were talking about, and he felt like he sort of became an ambassador for what might be in contacting aliens and things like that.
Yeah.
And so going back to so once you UFOs got their hooks into you, I know you went on to publish a fanzine at one time. What was sort of your path into ufology after you got started?
Yeah, I think, let's see, I started attending UFO conferences. I was probably 14 or 15, and that's when I had met Jim Moseley. And I think shortly before that, actually, I'd started publishing my own fanzine about UFOs. You know, self-published zines were huge back in the early 90s, and I got in on that. And at the time, my publication was called The Devil's Advocate, because I attempted to question the prevailing narrative that was often being put forth about UFOs. So, yeah, you know, I did that, and it was a fun time for a few years, right? And that was kind of my parlay into UFOs. Eventually, that's what got my interest in, you know, human psychology to grow, when I went on and got educated in psychology at University of Georgia, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That was very much been a part of my life, as it, you know, as it has for many, many people, right, in a way.
Was there a triggering event of any kind that started your interest in UFOs?
Well, initially, I actually grew up across Pensacola Bay from Ed's house, so I would see on the news his newest photo, but then I'd walk outside and look across the bay and see his house, and I always looked to see if I ever saw the UFO, but I never saw the UFO, at least not initially. I did, not too long after, a couple of years later, I was with a crowd of people at Shoreline Park in Gulf Breeze. There were still dozens, sometimes hundreds of people that would go down there and wait and look for UFOs, and I was with them once when they had a pretty brief sighting of something, the Gulf Breeze red light. They call it, sometimes they call it Bubba. I don't know how I got that name, but so Bubba showed up on one occasion. I did see, I had a sighting in that case. It only lasted maybe 4 or 5 seconds, but there was a crowd of people there, and I remember the excitement that people, people were really, just the impact that this brief little moment had on everybody, and that was probably one of the things that locked me in on it, right?
But you weren't followed around by strange phenomena or poltergeists or anything, right?
No. I've never really had too many of my own, I'd say maybe really any personal experience that I find completely mystifying. Even my sighting of the Gulf Breeze UFO, I didn't really find to be overly compelling. It was a red light that flashed on. To me, it looked almost like maybe a pyrotechnic or something. The thing I saw, at least, it kind of burned out after a couple of seconds.
We have Dr. Tim Brigham We have Kirk Collins, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their three-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You know, we've all had our little stories by UFOs. Mine was reading a book at my late brother's house called Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Major Donald Kehoe.
Yeah.
I read the book and I was hooked. That changed my life. Now, I can't say there was anything about the book that was special, except, of course, it was very popular, sold many more copies than any UFO book sells these days. So who knows?
That's a sad thing, that there are a lot of people interested, but they're not doing much work to find out about it. And, you know, part of it is because things are so cheaply, and I don't mean that in the good sense, available, like YouTube videos. And there's a lot of low-quality information out there, and, you know, including your Ancient Aliens TV shows, things like that. Well, Tim, do you think the constant exposure of UFOs and the paranormal in the media, you know, what do you think that's effect that has on the average person?
Yeah, good question. You know, it's like you said, the information that gets kind of floats up there does oftentimes seem to be pretty poor. There's a lot of new interest in UFOs, or I guess now the, you know, UAP, which I hate, but you know, a lot of new folks come in. There's a flood of new people, and they get really excited. And oftentimes, they have the idea that, hey, we're gonna have this figured out pretty quickly. And sometimes those hopes are dashed. So they've always been dashed, I guess. If you expect to ever really find an answer to this in any time in the near future, I don't think that's probably gonna be the case. But there's not a lot of appreciation for the history of the topic. You know, there's plenty of history there. A lot of the stuff that gets floated is just a regurgitation of stuff that we'd heard decades ago, you know, similar stories, similar themes, right? But oftentimes when folks have gone to the trouble to kind of nail down those details and really look deeply, maybe the attention span of most people that just have a general interest in UFOs, maybe they just don't care to dig that deep, right? But yeah, I think you're right. It's unfortunate that there's kind of this, and maybe that's part of what the movement currently is, and you know, government/militaries to try to, again, maybe resolve some anomalies. If you want to go back to that idea, the more information, the more good information we can get out there and destigmatize the idea. If you see something unusual, you know, talk about it, and we can figure out what it is. It you know, doesn't necessarily mean that if your pilot reports something while he's flying your plane that he's, you know, suddenly talking about Venusians or anything, right? That, you know, there could be this kind of, we can have some gray area, right? We can have things that we don't know quite what they are, but we don't have to go to the extreme of something that's not proven yet. You know, at least ideally, maybe, and someday we'll get there.
So I know you belong to at least one organization and maybe you're associated with an informal group. Can you tell us about any of the colleagues that you have in the UFO world?
Yeah, sure. You know, probably the most active I've been in the past few years in that sense, at least. I've done a little bit of work with Robert Powell and the guys over at the SCU Scientific Coalition for UFO Studies. Haven't really been doing much with them in the past couple of years. I've kind of stepped back, and with all the new interest, kind of tried to see what happens and let people go through their motions. But yeah, you know, back in 2021, as this stuff was kind of still, I guess, ramping up in a way, right? At SCU, I had initiated, we sent out a letter to many of the Senate and representatives involved in the topic at the time, that, you know, guys like Warner and Rubio and, you know, at that time, the usual suspects. But anyway, we got assistance from Chris Mellon, and we drafted up a letter that we sent out to the Senate Committee for Intelligence, along with, again, Warner, Rubio, several of those guys, and just offered support from SCU, and actually had asked in the same letter if we could get some assistance with maybe getting declassification or release of some more of the gimbal footage that had been widely talked about, maybe if there was any additional data or additional video there that they could assist with getting that released so we could kind of do a better analysis. We ended up having like 32 SCU members sign on. A majority of them were PhDs or master's level people. You know, we had myself, Mike Sorge, and Chris Mellon, and Eric Davis, and all these, we all signed on and sent it to a dozen different Congress people. The strange thing to me was we never got even a thank you letter in response, not even an automated thank you letter. Every time I've ever contacted a government official for anything else, I've always at least gotten a form letter in response. And this time we got literally nothing. And we, from, you know, any of a dozen people that we'd expect to respond in some way. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, of course, now there's new people involved. You've got Senator, Congressman Burchett and Luna, right? Some new folks in, but yeah, we've SCU is just tried to get them to release some more data to allow analysis. But, yeah, it's where they're going to go with this, I guess we'll see, right?
You know, here's kind of a funny political aside. Okay, we, of course, have Robert Bigelow, who was the recipient of a lot of that $22 million for the early Pentagon UFO or UAP project for his National Institute of Discovery Sciences, or NIDS. Today, Bigelow is a key donor to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is running for president.
Yeah.
Which is strange in itself, because I thought he was close with Senator Harry Reid. So we're talking about a liberal Democrat, now a conservative Republican. But more to the point, then, if somebody thought about it, they could ask DeSantis, hey, what do you think about UFOs? Because you're taking money from this guy.
Yeah.
That is a good end for that question, because of that connection. That is very interesting. You know, is it the fact that Bigelow, you know, picking people he likes are people whose interests that, you know, can our influence can advance his interest? Sure would be. It would be interesting to hear from him.
Yeah. I saw something fairly recently with him, an interview he'd done with Jeffrey Mishlove on Thinking Aloud, I think is his podcast. He's been doing that for years. But I saw Bigelow on there talking about supporting, DeSantis and those guys. And a lot of discussion about his interest in life after death. And, you know, he's got a lot of interest in those kind of border liminal, you know, areas. Mm-hmm. Are you? So very, very interesting. He did also make mention, I don't know if you heard, Kurt, he was asked about about physical evidence that at some point had been mentioned that Bigelow Aerospace had access to. And he was asked a clarifying question about that. And somebody, anyway, his response was that the data, the samples that he had were something, unusual things that were retrieved from human bodies. I got the impression he might have been talking about implant stuff from even Dr. Roger Lear, maybe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was the way he phrased it, was some mysterious artifacts from human, didn't mention anything about kind of crashed, you know, material stuff. He didn't acknowledge anything about having anything like that, so. But, you know, again, it's always those ongoing stories about mystery metal, memory metals, and, you know, stuff retrieved from UFO crashes that never seem to be able to really find any conclusive evidence of anything really anomalous about. But.
Well, it's a matter also of getting memories from people who saw or heard something 60 years earlier, and they're trying to get it accurately, which could be a problem. We have Tim, Gene, and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. The House Appropriations Committee is focusing on border security in the DHS appropriations bill. The spending measure emphasizes restarting border wall construction to address the southern border crisis, the bill allocating over $2 billion for wall construction. On the second day of the UAW strike, discussions back underway between the United Auto Workers and Ford and GM, striking union members advocating for improved pay and pension.
We need more money. I mean, we've gone years without a raise. You know, we want our fair share.
Negotiations, which paused on Friday, have now resumed, with both GM and Ford expressing their commitment. Today marks Mexico's Independence Day, commemorating the cry of independence on September 16, 1810, a call for freedom from Spanish rule. The cry culminating in Viva Mexico. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Former CIA officer and survival expert Jason Hansen here. I teach people how to prepare for the unexpected. Right now, most Americans are not ready for the death of the U.S. dollar. You have money sitting in cash, and if you don't act soon, your financial future could be at risk. I have partnered with Advantage Gold, the number one rated precious metals company in America, to release my new digital dollar survival kit that's 100% free for everyone who calls today and claims your free survival kit. Simply call 800-900-8000 and give your email address, and I will have this new digital dollar survival kit sent to you immediately. Call 1-800-900-8000 now and claim your free kit, and also mention my name, Jason Hansen, and see how you could also qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Supplies are limited, so call right now before it's too late. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
This is Jennifer Stein, executive producer of The Disclosure Dialogues. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You know, just briefly, this is more conspiratorial. When we bring up what people remember decades ago, like in Roswell and all the contradictory stories, we think of the Kennedy assassination, and now one of the Secret Service men who worked with Jackie Kennedy in those days and, you know, was there when the assassination of JFK occurred, he is telling a story now in a book where he moved this bullet onto a stretcher that was supposed to be the magic bullet that struck JFK and hit Governor Connally, and he's saying, no, that was not it. But he kept this story to himself for 60 years, even though it may blow up the theory of a lone gunman. But then is he just remembering something 60 years later that has been altered through culture, perceptions, old age, whatever? Or did he actually have something he never talked about before?
Yeah, you know, whenever we talk about those memories of decades old stuff and even more recent stuff, right, it's, as we understand about memory now, it's not a recording, right? It's a reconstructive process. Every time I try to recall something from 10 or 20 years ago, right, I change it a little bit and things get adjusted and modified to kind of, yeah, memory's not a recording, right? There's definitely plenty of room for errors in memory. And, you know, it also has a little bit of an air of the kind of Philip Corso thing, right? Somebody before death comes out and makes a huge claim. Yeah, not saying that it couldn't be true or that it's not true, right? But especially when we deal with you know, really, really old information and memories. Memory's such a fickle thing, right? And that's why I'm really set against people using hypnosis to retrieve memory. I think that oftentimes can be more harmful than any good it does. So, yeah, brings up a lot of questions about memory and information from stuff so far back in the past.
I go through that sometimes when I contact my first wife, Geneva, who worked with me on Cabinet M-Tour magazine over the years, and I'll mention something that we both experienced, and her memories of it are totally different than mine.
Yeah.
I've got one of those. And this one really shook me. This is when I could start believing, you know, about the conflation of decades and maybe crash test dummies being mistaken for aliens. I asked my sister about the one time we went to a family reunion on my mother's side when we were kids. And I started to ask her, you know, some details on it. She said, well, wait a minute, you've got that wrong. We didn't go when we were kids. You had already been married and you brought your daughter. And so, you know, I was off by more than 10 years in the way I remembered it.
Yeah. I'll give you a little quick anecdote just to kind of illustrate that from a clinical perspective. I often, talking about, you know, attachment and trauma recovery and all that kind of stuff, I'll sometimes pose the question to people if they remember their first day of school, their first time they were separated from their mother and what that emotionally was like for them. Anyway, had just an instance of kind of false memory stuff come up. A guy volunteered to me that he thought for many years that he recalled his first day of school. He'd think back on it, remember how it went and blah, 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 blah. But then about a decade later, he went and visited his mom during Christmas and realized on her mantle above her fireplace was a photo of him on his first day of school. And only then did he remember that he wasn't actually remembering his first day of school. He was remembering the photograph that his mother had of his first day and information she had told him about what it was like. So, yeah, all that kind of stuff is happens every day, right? Including, I would think, probably especially with paranormal or anomalous stuff. Right?
I remember very little of my life before I was a teenager, except in a few cases. I was 11 when I read that book from Major Kehoe at my brother's apartment. I remember these recurring dreams where some big black thing would come after me and I'd wake up in a cold sweat. This was maybe when I was between 8 and 10 years old. I remember walking around the neighborhood and smelling something like the infamous burnt sulfur. And after a while it disappeared, right? And I remember being in the crib. And people were outside in the other room, and I was unhappy for some reason. Mm. I remember putting up this clay thing, like this serpent kind of image with a long tail, and sticking it up there on the wall, and my parents finally got sick of it and told me to take it down. Or they took it down, whatever. A lot of other things I don't remember. Maybe I wasn't there.
Yeah, but that's interesting that a memory could be generated by a story and a photograph, though. So, Gene, about this a Secret Service agent, I've not read the book, but I did read an article, the details of his story and about why he's not come forward with it. He said that he didn't, you know, he wasn't involved in the primary investigation and didn't really give testimony or anything, and he found it traumatic and just didn't read the books, and it was only recently that he realized that was important. So, you know, I would think that it was so important, though. It's hard to believe that he wasn't questioned. And secondly, does he have anything, like an old diary where this was mentioned? You know, is there any confirmation of this detail? When somebody comes up with an extraordinary detail like that about an important event so long after the fact, you know, we really need to see some evidence to back that up.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, and I think there's a lot of overlap there with the whole concept of how we approach UFO, right? That, and again, you know, from a clinical kind of therapist perspective, I never make judgment of what somebody's report or their experience is, but, you know, that's up for them to decide. But whether or not we kind of believe the objective accuracy of that or not, right, is a separate question. I don't have to believe that that gentleman is intentionally lying to also think that he might not be completely correct, right? And I think that goes for UFOs as well to a huge degree.
Well, the bullet experience is different than the paranormal experiences, which range from any, you know, whether it's a UFO contact to seeing a Bigfoot or someone seeing an image of the Virgin Mary. But the thing they have in common is usually it's the witness with their story. And do you see that these experiences as from your professional standpoint, are they different? You know, is there one that's more likely to be strictly an emotional or psychological experience?
Yeah, you know, that one thing that keys off in my head, at least, is, and I don't know if this directly answers your question, but kind of the overlap between between ideas and UFOs, like we talk about missing time, right, and things like that. And from a therapeutic approach, right, as a psychologist, I recognize that as sounds to me a lot like what we talk about as dissociation, where people, right, may, and dissociation is typically thought about as kind of a disconnect, right, where maybe I'm not present, and it's often, you know, a trauma response. It's a kind of a protective response, right? You see a lion catch a gazelle, and the gazelle plays dead and kind of floats out of its body, and that way it doesn't have to experience being eaten by a lion, right? And I think, you know, when we talk about things in the UFO field, like the Oz effect and things like that, there seems to be a lot of overlap there with some of the stuff we hear reported in terms of UFO. Point being, to get, you know, to try to more directly answer your question, I think a lot of it ties up with just how memory is, especially how memory is in terms of traumatic or, you know, really severe things that happen to us in life. The way that our brains process that kind of stuff is different. Without getting into too much of the neurology of it and the neurobiological part of it, but, you know, parts of your brain that help store memories actually shut down when you're under stress and danger and threat, because there's more important things than worrying about, you know, having a good story about it later, right? You got to survive in the moment. So, you know, memories of stuff that's really traumatic or really dangerous or really, really powerful even, right? Those memories can be stored differently and be harder to access. So in talking about that kind of stuff, it's hard to nail down the objective accuracy of it many times. That's why, in my experience, I don't make judgments about, you know, people sometimes ask, do you think this really happened? Well, that's not for me to say, right? But caveat emptor is probably a good idea to keep in mind as we talk about memory of things, you know, from years ago, that's for sure.
You kind of wonder then whether a lot of these memories of strange encounters are not false memories or manipulation of memories to recall something years later. We've got Tim Brigham, Gene Steinberg, Kurt Collins, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your
life with Extendovite. This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Having raised the issue, Tim, what do you think of what I'm saying, that a lot of what might be going on in the UFO field involves some level of manipulation of memories, whether it's just part of the process of living or something or someone manipulating memories? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we all change our own memories, even unintentionally, right? So, you know, every time I think about something that happened when I was 5, I probably change that story a little bit, right, as I try to pull it out and talk about it and discuss it. Yeah, so there's the inherent kind of pitfalls with memory in and of itself. Memory's not always reliable, right? Very often it's not reliable at all, or not very reliable, right? Plus, there are some people that have their own agendas, right? They want to push towards a certain perspective or a certain idea, a certain narrative. You know, when you see some of the folks that have worked with many of the well-known abduction, quote-unquote, researchers, I think that's if you look at who works with, you know, I remember Martin Kottmeyer years ago had written a paper about looking at folks that had worked, you know, people who had UFO experiences that worked with either Bud Hopkins versus other researchers, right? And then the tones of their stories would oftentimes kind of align with that particular researcher's own perspectives, right? Might be some thought given to who you work with, especially in that kind of area, and as to where that might end up for you.
Led by a bad police detective in your testimony.
Right, yeah, and of course those guys may not even be doing that intentionally. They might not be doing it for nefarious purposes, but an unconscious drive to find something can oftentimes be just as strong, right?
Well, I think, of course, when it comes to things like David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins, and Jacobs especially, seemed to talk to a lot of abductees who were involved somehow in creating hybrids and had this elaborate theory that these hybrids were here to infiltrate our population and take over. Now, as a practical matter, things are so really nasty out there right now, I really wouldn't mind someone who knows a little bit more than we do taking over if they're benevolent dictators.
Right. You know, the themes kind of underlying that, right? There's a lot of a lot there, right? I mean, there's the sexual component, right? When there's that obvious kind of that experimentation, and you know, kind of the idea of being treated as a lab rat almost by something, right? And You know, but again, to me, very interesting that that so many people he talked to kind of came out with stories that were, you know, along those lines, right? And whether, you know, that I think does speak to, you know, being very selective about who you might want to work with if you have any of this stuff that you're trying to get assistance with, right? Maybe not going with somebody that already has an agenda or is writing a book about a, you know, a topic with a certain perspective or whatever, so.
Well, that's part of the problem with so much of the new UFO stories that have come out, whether it was like some of the bad videos from Jeremy Corbell or the people that David Grush is associated with, Knapp and Corbell, is that the stories seem to become not necessarily from, but through promoters.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, also just the idea that just because somebody's in the military or somebody's in the government doesn't mean that they might not believe in a bunch of weird stuff, right? Maybe even stuff that might not be founded by evidence. I'm with you. I'm very suspicious of some of the people that have aligned themselves with David Grush. I hope he's not in any way being, you know, kind of fed information that might not be legitimate. But, there's certainly... I have a problem with anybody who, well, I should say it that way. I think it's difficult to try to remain objective and do UFOs as a full-time kind of job. Anybody that makes it their full-time living, full-time career, their day job. I mean, how could you not kind of find yourself sliding over that line as to what you will talk about as possibly being legitimate, maybe that's not. I mean, there's only so much that you can, you know, so much good, quote unquote, UFO information out there. At some point, you see like the thing with the Mexican congressman and wheeling out alien mummies, right? It's how far are you going to allow yourself to step into territory that might be pretty questionable?
I just wondered with the Mexican authorities, though, why people like Jaime Musan are even believed anymore, considering all the questionable things he's talked about over the years.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And I think maybe part of it's just that, you know, there's a lot of interest right now, and most people probably haven't researched it to that degree. They might recognize Jaime Musan's face, but they might not know that he's been associated with multiple hoaxes in the past. I don't think it does us any favors, that's for sure, but, pretty unfortunate that I know there's been talk that in some of these instances, at least, it might be actual human remains that might be partial human remains. And, you know, there's really some unfortunate aspects to a lot of that stuff. And I know Kurt, of course, has some knowledge about that, having done the Roswell Slides research group stuff. So, you know, it's nothing new, but really, really unfortunate. I think at some point you might even have some officials step in, right? You know, people selling tickets to look at what could be mummified human remains and selling them off as aliens and, you know, or selling tickets to call in CE5 events, you know, and maybe there should be a little more oversight from somebody in charge about, you know, these kind of things. I don't know.
I can think of four people that have ever been convicted to jail or prison from UFO related hoaxes or crimes. There are very few. You know, usually it's you know, the fakery itself isn't, you know, but if you get involved in like selling stocks or something like that, it has to be actual financial fraud or property or harm to a person, and just the fakery itself. Now, the human remains thing seems like that would be a big one, and I would love to see Musan and his cohorts be punished for that.
Well, one particular fraudster, of course, is Sean David Morton.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember him, I know, Kurt, you do. He was in prison for stock fraud, he and his wife. And yet, I got an email from somebody promoting him as a guest not too long ago, weeks ago, and I wrote back and said, are you aware of his background? You don't know about his prison record? You don't know about all his fanciful claims. You don't know about his attempts to sell fake stocks. Never heard back from them again.
You know, the I don't think there's been really anybody in UFOs that I can think of that's ever really been kind of you know, completely roundly run out of the field. I think anybody that I've ever seen try to make a comeback after pretty much the worst stuff you could imagine, right? I don't think I've seen anybody not be successful. You know, it's, I think, right, you'd think, oh, who's gonna have this guest on, right? But it's somebody will.
What about Philip Imbrogno? Now, he did some credible work, supposedly, on UFOs. Then we learned that his educational and work credentials were all falsified. And then he was ousted. He was discredited. I haven't heard of him again. Have you, Kurt?
I saw his name on something not too long ago. So apparently he's made some degree of a comeback. And John Ventry, who was... You know, he promoted all sorts of nonsense about the Aztec calendar, you know, 2012 and stuff like that. And the thing that really got him in trouble, though, was the racial insults. And he was run out of the MUFON organization for that. But he's still doing conferences associated with MUFON on a local level. So I don't know what it takes. I was thinking, you know, when Tim started talking about this, if you took an index card and listed the people that have been blackballed, you know, you would have lots of white on that page.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Over the years, I've still heard from people who think George Adamski was genuine. We had somebody on the show who put a book together with work from different researchers. And one of the chapters, and I really went after him over this, said that it would be too expensive for someone like Adamski to make those photos. And I thought, let's see, a hubcap, some light bulbs or golf balls, a surgical lamp, expensive. Uh-huh. They were exposed years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's several classic UFO cases, and I think maybe even the Trent photos has come kind of in the same light now, right, where people say, well, it'd be so hard to fake this. It'd be almost impossible. You'd need a $1 million studio to, and oftentimes that doesn't seem to really be the case, right?
George Adamski specifically, former co-host Chris O'Brien tells a story told to him by Ray Stanford. In those days, Ray and Rex Stanford were people who leaned into the contactee movement, and we'll give you part two in a moment. With Tim, Gene, and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that had been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
I need more time to file my taxes. Help!
On IRS.gov, you can use IRS Free File to get 6 more months. Or you can submit IRS Form 4868 by the April deadline. If you owe taxes, you can make an electronic payment and get a filing extension with no need to submit Form 4868. Go to IRS.gov for details. But remember, an extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay what you owe.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.